We did a funeral yesterday for someone that we have connection with, and had a group of people. And I was meeting with the daughter beforehand this week, and talking with her. And a passage of scripture came to mind when I was meeting with her that I would never have used in this context. I just did not think about using it in the context of a funeral service. But somehow it just seemed appropriate. And so I shared it yesterday. And I want to just share a few thoughts with you, just because I just can't get away from it. Sometimes these things kind of burn inside of you. And so I just want to share this with you in kind of a different light. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, wrapped him in strips of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. Why would I read that at a funeral? And because I'm nuts, that's why. you have to think about it here, is that in I can't really share the family details, but it was just obvious that there was such a lot of brokenness. You know, at times in our lives, brokenness is obvious. At other times, it's not so obvious. That doesn't mean it's not there. Brokenness is in all of us. It shines out of some people a little louder than others. But the thing that's so incredible about that passage of Scripture is that we read that every Christmas time, every holiday. You know, it's kind of, and we've sort of romanticized it. I mean, you know, it's put on beautiful Christmas cards and on wonderful magazines and all kinds of venues that make it sort of look romantic. Maybe romantic is the wrong word, but we've just kind of romanticized the idea. But the reality is, when you read that passage of Scripture, it reminds us that there's so much wrong. Caesar is a Roman emperor who is now governing over the land of God's people. Everything is topsy-turvy. The Roman Empire is dominating them with slavery. They're paying taxes to a foreign emperor who calls himself God. In the midst of that, you have the story of this carpenter who's now been told to travel. I mean, see, he's of the kingly line of David, but now he's been told to travel to Bethlehem and register for a census. And see, he has to do this, and he's taking along his fiancée who is pregnant. Now, we all know that she is pregnant by God. I mean, that she was a virgin, pregnant by God. And even Joseph wrestled with it when he first heard about it. And he was going to divorce her. He was going to, you know, sign legal papers and put her away. And God spoke to him and said, "Don't worry, it's my child. And I've chosen you to be, you know, the foster father. Take care of things." It's just wrong. And then they get to Bethlehem. And the place is so crowded, they can't even find, you know, a place to lay down and give birth to this child in decency. They end up in a stable or a cave somewhere, and this newborn baby, when he's born, is laid in a manger. Now, just think about this, you know, because everything in that story shouts there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. Things are out of order. Nothing is quite right. Now, if I was God, you know, I mean, I would have chosen to come into this world, you know, and, you know, they would have had a chariot or a limousine to take them to Bethlehem, and they would have had the finest hospital, the finest doctor's care, the best food, the best clothes. He wouldn't be wrapped in rags to keep warm, but, you know, he'd be wrapped in a nice, snuggly little baby blanket. You know how moms do today? You know, they actually pick out the blanket that they're going to wrap that baby home in and bring him home. And I would have chosen all that kind of stuff. But everything about that story shouts at us, something is wrong. And here's the incredible thing about it, is that God chooses to come into that wrong and meet us there. He doesn't separate himself from it. He doesn't judge it. He doesn't look down upon it. He chooses to come into the midst of that wrong. And he meets us right there. That's more than a story from 2,000 years ago that we're supposed to share with one another every Christmas. It's the story of God's love for us. It's the story of God coming into our lives when things are topsy-turvy, when things are crazy, when family structures are broken, when disease is ravaging our home or our family or our world. When we have the wrong rulers in the wrong place, and when money is scarce, God meets us there. And somehow uses the circumstances of all that brokenness to bring deliverance and redemption and transformation to our lives. It's probably the most appropriate funeral scripture you could read when you think about it. Because funerals are like that. They shout at us, something's wrong. But it's in the midst of that that God chooses to come and that God works in our lives. I love being part of that story. Amen? Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to finish up today and this is going to be your opportunity to share a little bit dealing with this. We're going to finish the book of Galatians today. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the whole passage right up there. That's Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. And I'm going to read it, and I'm going to then ask you some questions here. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let's not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, the reason I put that up for you is because there are several ideas that are presented in this sort of the last practical instructions from Paul to this church in Galatia. They aren't separated from the book. Remember, he didn't just say, okay, I'm done with the book and the theme of my book about grace and about remembering that you can't add anything to what God has done. You know, it's not like all of a sudden I'm going to change my tune and just give them a few things to throw at them. It's like it's in the context of this book and this idea that we've been sharing again and again for the last several weeks that the Apostle Paul that chooses to do this. And what I thought was is that there are several thoughts in there, or maybe one big thought, but I'm thinking that some of you have, you know, there's one part particular maybe that speaks to you. Maybe there's another part that speaks to you. So I'd like to give you an opportunity to share what's kind of the most important idea in that verse or in that group of verses that speaks to you. Pick that out and then come up and share that with us if you can. Mr. Microphone is on and he's not knocking the door at us. Like that must have been Janet's heart up here pounding through that mic. What stands out to you in that group of verses? What sort of speaks to you? And come up and share with us. Can always count on you, Ed. Now, that's why I love being your pastor. I love having you here. Yeah, that's all right.
You know, I'm not very gifted in speech.
Yeah, actually, you quite are. You are.
Well, what stands out to me is, you know, one, Steve mentioned, you know, this brokenness that that we all experience or are, and that the Scripture speaks a little bit regarding that. You know, we are broken in this world, and as you all know, this world has a way of just tearing us down. You know, maybe in our day-to-day contacts, maybe at work, at school, sometimes even unfortunately in our families, we are worn down. But it encourages us, the Scripture does, not to tire out. And one good way, or one way we can do that is, as it mentioned, to do good to others. And it says especially to those related to us in the faith. So if we do that, we will be strengthened, we will endure, and we will not tire out.
Thank you. Heather. See, the thing is that I get up here and I talk like this. You know, here I had a guy come from the bowling alley. He was coming here a couple of times to church, and he came. And the only thing he remembered about that service was Andy Houck, who got up and shared. You know, it wasn't about me, you know, it was Andy Houck. You know, I preached the whole sermon. I preached my heart out, you know. And he says, oh, Andy Houck, really? That was really something, really spoke to me.
Okay. We love you. I'm sure your sermon meant something to somebody else.
It's all right.
So when I first read, or when you read it, that first sentence, it seemed like a big circle that I couldn't quite figure out. So I was sitting there wondering about it. And maybe it's because in Servant Council we've talked about this, and then in our home group we watched a video about this, but just making sure that you're looking to God for your reward. So what it said to me is that, you know, the one who is taught the word, which would be me being taught the word, and thinking about who teaches me the word, it doesn't really matter who I hear the word from, whether it's Steve or it's my reading or it's something that Kevin and I discuss or anything like that or something in our home group, it ultimately is coming from God. So it's important that I look to share all those good teachings with God. And so anyway, that was me.
All right. Thank you. Katie's. If anybody else is going to share, come on up like Katie did, and that would be good.
Well, the first sentence really spoke to me as well. As it says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. So many times I've been to a Bible study, and, you know, I just have to encourage you guys, don't be afraid to ask the hard questions. When I ask a question, it's because I need to know, but it also helps the person who is having to respond to you, because then they have to think about what they believe. And it helps you to really understand what you believe. Not only that, but having a relationship with a person is the same as having a relationship with God. You've got to be able to talk to each other and really understand where your heart is. And a person who is teaching also needs to know not just what they said, but what you heard. And that's really important when you talk back to them. They know what you heard.
Amen. Thank you. I got two of you up here. You guys want to come stand together? I know 18 years, a long time.
We're going to double team everybody.
Double team.
So it really hits me. The Lord says that we're not to store up our treasures on earth, where moth and rust and fire and everything can get to them and wear them out and destroy them. We're to store them up in heaven. So a lot of things that we do, we're to do in good faith and understand a lot of things that we do are thankless jobs. A lot of times when we're doing good to others, we might say, well, where's my reward, God? Why am I still having trouble on earth? Where's my payback? Where's my reward? But we're to look at everything through the eyes of the Word of God, and we're storing up. And when we get to heaven, the Lord says we're going to get crowns. We're going to get jewels in our crowns. We're going to take those crowns, and we're going to cast them at the feet of God. So as we're doing our good works on earth, our reward is stored up in heaven. It's stored as that jewel in the crown that we're going to have on that day when we meet our Savior. So just be encouraged that as you do things on earth, as you're doing good to others, and you're wondering where's mine, you might not see it in this lifetime. So just be encouraged and keep doing good because you are storing up your treasures in heaven.
Thank you. There's the problem. There's the problem. You got another wireless mic back there? Don't you have another Mr. Microphone? It's up here. Well, you found out the problem here. That was good. It was because Ben was up here shaking the microphone around and breaking it.
Here, let me take that.
You take that. This one says HH1 on it. You got it?
Anniversaries and all, and birthdays, sometimes you tend to reflect, and this week has been a week of reflection for me, more self-pity than I should say reflection, because when Ben married me, I wasn't saved. I didn't know the world. Catholic.
Hallelujah.
Just to kind of give honor, him, he would say, I didn't know what it was done. A lot of his hard work, because I was not an easy person to get along with, very hard-headed, like things my way, and we had a lot of resistance coming at us. And for years, I know this man prayed for me, put in a lot of hard time, and I know there's a crown of jewels for him, just in my case. He's a big key to my salvation. But part of our marriage is that he had two children, and I ended up adopting him, and my pity reflection was watching my two older children stray from the Lord and seeing their biological mom come back into the picture, and I was reminded today, and seeing all this stuff with Palestine and Israel, and those of us who know the Bible know that the Lord gave the land to Israel. And what the Lord gives, he doesn't take away. I mean, in life, death, but he gave that territory. And the Lord quickened in me as I'm getting over my self-pity about my children and all the hard work that I put into loving them and how I died to flesh and carried my cross and where's my reward. It is that the Lord has given me those things. And again, I may not see of these things now, but what he's given to me, that territory to go, despite the enemy coming in and trying to take back, is still mine and not growing weary. I have the hardest time with that lately, just not growing weary. I mean, Paul even said in this, is, you know, you got to keep going. And it's kind of I took a walk every day outside my house, every time I come home, and straight up walk. And I always look at that, going up that hill every day, and I'm reminded of the scriptures, don't get weary, keep going.
Come here, you guys. Just extend your hands, and let's pray a blessing on these two. I want to thank you for bringing Ben and Aaron to our lives, to this church. And we do. We just ask your blessing upon them. Surround their lives and their family with your blessing. Continue to speak to them and lead them and guide them. Protect them, Lord, and hear their heart's cry and answer it, Lord. Lord, just like we heard today from Janet, Lord, you heard her heart's cry. And even though she didn't even ask you, you knew and blessed her. So watch over this couple and bless them in the same way. Hear their heart's cry in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. That's, just stay right there. No, come up here. This is Lindsay, everybody.
Hi. I usually don't get in front of crowds, so this is huge for me. this part that spoke to me is, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. A lot of us don't realize or even think about it, but the battle is the hardest before the light comes. And all of us are going through our own battles, and our busy lives, we forget to realize that we are reaping every day. Our children wake up in the morning and we get to kiss them goodnight when they go to bed, and we are blessed with all of our brothers and sisters in our lives every single day. So we don't have to wait to reap the benefits or the reward because we're given it every single day. I'm all shaky.
Good job. This is Eric. In case you don't know Eric, this is Eric.
This is him. Verse 10 spoke to me. You know, God gave everything that we might have life. And verse 10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially the household of God. We are put on this earth to give back, to share God's love with everybody, to bring everybody. You know, God desires that none should perish, but all should come to know Him and spend eternity with Him. And it's up to us to move unbelievers along, to encourage them. But this last verse about especially to the household of God, I'm still mulling over in my mind what that truly means. But I love you all, and if I can do anything to encourage you and move you in a walk in God's love, because, you know, our reward is heaven. And that's what's holding me together right now, is my reward is in heaven, where we're going to be with God for eternity. That's a long time to be there worshiping and praising our wonderful Lord.
Sister Jackson.
I ask you to come down here. Thank you. for Eric and for any of the rest of you, that last part, to do good to all people, especially to those. to those who are of the household of faith. Since I've been going through this thing with my niece,
I'm sorry.
I don't like to cry in front of people. But since I've been going through this, so many of you have been just precious to me. You have blessed me with so much that I have not been able to respond to you individually. Before I can say thank you to one another, of you come forward and have been blessed. You've prayed for me. You've anointed me. You have blessed me financially. This is really hard on me going north and doing things as it is. But my brothers and sisters, thank you so much, because this scripture is absolutely alive in this congregation and in my life. So, Eric, I hope this helps you understand that it happens right here, right with the people that you worship God with. that when you have to go through something, they are here to support you. And they are supporting me. Thank you so much. And I know God has rewards for all of you. Thank you.
Ahead, you can sit down. You go, you come, Maddie, come lay your hands on B for just a moment. This is Maddie over here. She's going to pray. Because B is going to go back for surgery now this week. B had a knee surgery, and out of that knee surgery, she got an infection which got into there. She's been wrestling with this for months. And they finally decided that they'd have to go in. They could actually go in and do that. But we're going to pray a blessing on her and pray for her healing. So let's pray together. Just extend your hands towards B. Amen. Lord, we don't always do loving well. I know that. You know, but God, help us to do better. And thank you for the encouragement when there are times when we do it right, when we surround people who have needs. Lord, we ask for B. We lift her up, just as we have many times already over the months. And we just pray, Lord, for your complete healing in her. Lord, just drive this infection from her body. And Lord, give her a new knee, a bionic knee, whatever kind of knee you want to put in there. But we look for the day when B will dance again before you without pain. Bless her. Hold her close. We commit her to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I don't know. Do we let young people get up here and share with us?
So what I really want to focus on is that the last part. So then while we have opportunity, let us be good to all people, and especially those who are household of faith. I really think, in my perspective, as a high schooler, like, I want to, like, make the most of my life. I want to go out and do, like, missions and, like, feed the hungry. And I've been talking to my parents, you know, for, like, putting on my scholarship for college. My application for college, like, that I go out and just, like, help others. But I think the most that you can do, especially me as a young person, is to start small. And start, like, in the congregation, and then you build out, you know. And then I want to make another point with reading and sewing. I've gotten into some really not good things in the past year, I should say. And my parents say you read what you sew. And I unfortunately get quite familiar with this, and I shouldn't actually be a very good sister. And what I keep in mind, I try to, is you read what you sew. Take your time to others. You know, people are going to be kind back to you. If you're generous to others, they're going to give back to you. And so it's really entitling to me. I used to think, oh, gosh, okay, I don't have a problem. I want to go do this. You know, I want to go here. I want to go there. I want to go do this. And so, you know, which I was tied, like, I don't remember how much, but maybe that might be that. And I'm like, oh, mom, what is this? I found a tree in my room. She's like,
Why are you scared?
Oh,
come on over here and I'll hold you. How about that? All right, let me share.
Says that you reap what you sow, and if you're trying to sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Holy Spirit will reap eternal life. If you keep trying to pull from people, everyone's a sinner. You're only going to find the corruption in the world. But if you choose to sow to the Holy Spirit, and you want to work with that, then you'll have eternal life.
Yeah. Good job. Future in the making here. Alex. Right?
Yeah.
You guys, we need to pray for Alex because she's hanging out with Calvin these days.
Thanks.
Right.
You notice I do that on a day where he's out with the kids, right?
I do that.
Okay. I'm not usually one to get up and speak at church. I'm a teacher, so I speak all the time. But not here. Because I'm relatively new to church, been like a year, and so I'm kind of trying to find my way. But I really like, I've been in my own world outside of church. I've been kind of reading and doing my own thing and trying to figure things out. And I've been reading one of the Psalms every single day for like the last 2 weeks. And it ends, like Psalm 139, and it ends with, if I have an offensive way, lead me in the way everlasting. And so I was spoken to by kind of the whole passage, but I thought it was important that Pastor said that we're all touched by different parts of it. And in like another reading I was doing, it talked about the difference between just having faith and demonstrating it by works. And I love that it says, so then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Because just standing here once a week in church and saying I have faith, but not demonstrating it by your daily life, doesn't necessarily give us those jewels that the folks are talking about. It doesn't, you know, we may see it in daily life. We may not see it in daily life. It may be, like, I don't remember, someone else was saying, it may be the longest, hardest, darkest period that the light hasn't shone through yet, but it will. It always does. And if you do it in God's name, then it definitely will.
Thank you. And thank you. Thank you for feeling free to come up and share, April.
So what spoke to me about this scripture was, "Because God will not be mocked." And if you think about that, you know, what is mocking? Well, you think of little kids being in front of other people, right? That's kind of mocking. They go, you know, whatever it said. Well, mocking also means to try to prove wrong. And so God is saying, I will not be proved wrong. You can't plant flower seeds and grow tomatoes. And you cannot plant thorns and reap something that's beneficial. And that's what the word is saying. He's saying that what we do in the Spirit, that is what we will reap. And if we plant in the Spirit things that are good, things that are godly, things that align with God's word, then he's not going to be made fun of. He's going to allow those things to grow in our lives. If we plant things that are hurtful, hateful, mean, mean-spirited, unkind, selfish, he again will not be made fun of. He will allow those things to grow. That is just, and just means to be made right. So we can't fool God. We can't make fun of God by saying, well, I'm going to do this over here, but I know you're going to bless me over here. It won't happen. God won't allow it because he's God. And we don't need to be afraid of that. We just need to embrace it. We just need to go, okay, God, help me to understand how to plant those things that honor you so that my life can reflect what you want me to be. And that's a difficult thing because the world inundates us with negativity. You watch television, if you listen to popular music, current music, it's all kind of inundated with things that come against the things that God wants us to be. And so those are seeds. Everything that goes in, everything that we take in willingly are seeds in our life. So we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing to cultivate the Spirit of God in my life? And just let God speak to you. Because you know, as soon as you give him time to speak to your heart, he'll tell you, but that you probably thought of things as I was speaking. And that's just the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, you know what? Take a look at this. What are you planting? What's growing in your life? And so just trust it so soon.
Thank you. Let me point out a couple of things here, and then we're going to have communion together. One of them is the context of this when the Apostle Paul says, Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You know, and it's, we can kind of pull that passage of Scripture away from the book of Galatians and kind of use it threateningly. You're going to reap what you sow, you know, that kind of thing. But remember that the context of this is in a letter. And in this letter, Paul has told these people again and again, you are free. You have freedom. God has set you free. And then he tells them, but don't use your freedom selfishly. Use your freedom to love others and love God. And then he comes back to that point here, but he speaks it in another way now. He says, remember, don't be deceived. If you choose to use your freedom, which you can, to satisfy your own flesh and corruption, this is what you're going to reap is corruption. So even though you're free, don't use your freedom to just live your life any old way. But use your freedom. Choose to live for God. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to do evil. You don't have to have anger rule your life. You now can choose. You can choose to say no to that and yes to God. He's given you that freedom. You're not a slave anymore to your sin. There is no sin that enslaves you anymore if you are in Christ. You've been set free. And so you now have a choice. You can say no to that sin and yes to God. Or you can continue to submit yourself to that sin. You can choose. But remember, if you choose to submit to sin, you will reap corruption. It'll be, you know, it'll come back on you. Why am I experiencing this? Why am I having these problems? And many times you can find it right in your own life. Just stop and say, where did I plant the seeds for this? So it's in that context that Paul says that. But the other thing that I want to point out here is this. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. These words were written for the early church. These words were written 2,000 years ago, right after the Holy Spirit came upon a people and planted a church. But apparently, even then, they had to wait for things. Even then, when they, you know, tried to love somebody into the kingdom, people didn't always respond. Even then, when they determined to do something right, but they tripped up, then they came back and tripped up. In other words, when Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is patience, remember that. You can think about this passage of Scripture in a variety of places, in your family, in your marriage, in your work, in a church, in a community, as we recognize that we live in sort of a hardened area. Pastors can be in areas almost 40 years and wonder, what are the results? I'm quitting. I'm out of here. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary. Some of you have prayed for children to get saved, to see the manifestation of God in their lives. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time you will reap. Some of you have prayed for your marriage, praying that your marriage will get better. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't throw in the towel on it, because in due time, you will reap. Some of you have prayed for your pastor, that he'll finally get with it. Don't grow weary in doing good, for in due time, you will reap. God will get a hold of that guy one day. Do you understand? What is it that you face in your life? And Paul just reminds you, The answer may not come quickly, but don't grow weary in doing good, because you will reap. If our ushers would come, let's come to the Lord's table today.